Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll bring it in.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting. Go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
I miss our metalcore, progressive metal intro music.
Yeah, me too, man. Did you see what I was doing in the mic?
Yeah, you were screaming.
I was like, yeah!
Welcome back to the final cast with Brad Hicks and Josh
Eldridge. What's up?
What's up? What's up, dude?
Not much.
Brad and I have no idea what we're talking about, so we're going to wing it tonight. So let's do random thoughts and expressions.
Well, Brad, we had a guest plan, but they backed out.
Yeah, it happens.
So
'tis the season, man, for people to be sick. I'm dealing with it. You were feeling kind of rough for a couple weeks ago. My kids are trading it back and forth. One of my best friends at work, he's really sick. He says his whole family's sick. He sounded awful today, dude. I made fun of him.
Is the Rona?
No, he actually caught Corona a couple of months back. It was kind of crazy. Like five people in this one area in our at work, kind of like the office area, caught it, and three of those people were vaccinated.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
yeah, I know you could still get it, but
and you could still pass it.
That, yeah,
that's really funny. And now they
it's not supposed to be as bad. I don't know though.
Yeah, it's but it's not slowing the spread. I don't think it is. Yeah. But anyways, let's not talk about the virus or political stuff.
Oh, come on, man!
I'm a big politician.
Guru.
No, you're not. You just like to stir shit up.
I know. Even if I agree with you, I'll say the complete opposite just to make you mad.
That's you. Just to make somebody mad. But let's talk about some kayak fishing stuff. And we kind of went briefly into some stuff one of our last episodes. Was our last one with Jimmy? I think so.
That was like 2 weeks ago. Last week we did the cold water year.
Did we? Yeah, you're right.
Something like that.
Something was the one before. It doesn't matter. But let's talk about your plans for next year. What kayak are you wanting to get into next year, Brian?
Well, I'm going to have the inflatable, of course, for the river. And then hopefully I'm still going to get a demo P127.
Yeah.
But I mean, I need something for the lakes. I can't, I can't use that inflatable on the lake. blow me around like, dude, crazy.
I mean, even at this point, after spending time in, pedal drives, there's no going back for me for lakes. I've got to get another one. It's so much easier, man. To be honest with you, I really like paddling in rivers. So,
I do too.
Being motorized or having pedal drives isn't that important to me. And I think that's just because I've done it for so long. Now, I mean, that was the way we started, you know, mm-hmm. and it's been what, six years of doing it, 7 years of doing it. And I still love it. So, I've gotten used to it, how to swing into eddies and, mm-hmm. you know, how to kind of hold myself in a position to fish. So that's not really that big of a deal, but I really need to get one for lake fishing. I just, it helps you cover water. Mm-hmm. It's not as hard on your body, you know, like strenuous wise, you know, I mean, it can be, you know, you can make it definitely into an exercise in a way, but I don't know. Mike Grimsley's like, you know, he's like, put a motor on the Kilroy. And I've thought about that, but I don't know, man. It's I'd be excited. I don't know which way to go with it. So, but I'm excited to see that P127. It'll be kind of cool to see it in person, you know. Mm-hmm. So
I don't even know if they're shipping yet or not. They said October, but I haven't seen anybody post a picture or anything yet.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I know they've made some because Bonafide posted.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows?
It's probably going to be like backed up like everything else is. It's kind of stupid to even release something right now, you know?
Yeah. I'm really excited. I really want to get in and try out some of the Old Town stuff, dude. I'm a really big fan of that autopilot. I got to try out JP's when we were at Del Hollow, and I really liked it. And I think me and Mike stopped by Strictly Sail. He had to get some parts or something before we went fishing last year, and I got to see that autopilot 136, man, and that thing is sweet, man. I really like it. And that, to be honest, I want to try out Old Town pedal drives. I've heard nothing but good things and never gotten a chance to pedal one yet, and yeah. I'd like to try it out, you know.
I tried out Ben Myers. I tried out his Sportsman. I don't know what length it was, but thing was sweet, man.
Yeah, he's got an autopilot too, right?
Yeah, the autopilot. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I want to get in a pedal drive though and try it out. That's like,
yeah,
Dan seems to love his. Dan Perry does.
Yeah, I've heard the Hobie and Old Town, I've always heard that they're like the top pedal drives on the market.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I've never tried the actual pedal drive, but I used to have an Old Town, and I loved that boat.
Yeah.
It was a fun boat.
And those are the glory days.
Heck yeah, that was like my first high-end kayak.
Yeah.
Old Town
Predator.
Predator MX. That thing was great in the river. But, I went up north and fished with Chris Yauch last week and a half ago, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he brought his Hobie PA and his Outback, and I fish out of the Outback for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And you know, like usually I get like pissed off and frustrated because the wind. That thing was nice. It was like just, you know, keeping pointed the way I wanted to. And
yeah, that's the benefit. I mean, it's got to be a pretty strong wind to kind of get you frustrated in the pedal drive. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess if you're fishing and you realize like your presentation and everything is kind of backwards, that might be frustrating because you can't really do anything at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you're trying to pedal, like there was a time where me and Mike were up north too, and we were fishing over that, that point, and it was like, the way I was lined up was perfect. I wasn't getting blown around. I had the wind coming at me. So it was just a couple pumps on the pedals and I was good. A little bit of adjustment here and there, but overall, like it wasn't too bad. Mike was on the other side and he was having a hell of a time because we think they were set up the other way. Because it's kind of the same concept of fishing any points, the wind blowing a certain direction, and the fish were set up on my side. So I would cast over that point and let the bait come across it and drop down. And he was fishing the other way. So the wind was messing with him. It was pushing him into the point, and you know, nothing really was working the way it should be for him. So he was super frustrated. Yeah.
That point is actually still exposed.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. We talked crazy. Mike was up there and was saying it's way out of the water. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like 12 feet low right now.
But yeah. So sorry about that. I think the kids were trying to call back.
No.
Let's see what else. So I know you're super excited about seeing that new Bending Branches paddle. What's the color called again?
Copperwood. That thing is freaking sweet.
Copperwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a new paddle, right? It's just a color scheme for the Angler Pro.
Yeah, it's just the Angler Pro with a new design.
The new design.
Yep. I'll pull it up real quick because this thing is freaking sweet. You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of red, but I mean, the design and the color and execution looks good. So I want to say, is it the same design as that Glowtech, or is it like more of just a scale pattern?
It looks like a scale.
Yeah.
Well, crap, it's not even showing up. Yeah, I guess they've only been posting it on their Instagram.
It's pretty sweet. Definitely, if you have a red kayak, it'll look, you know, it looks good. So
it'll look good with the gray inflatable, too.
Yeah. All right. What, did you find it?
I did. It's on their Instagram.
So you can't share it?
Probably not. Dang it. Come on. All right, here we go. I got it.
You got it? Brad's got it, everybody.
Yeah, it takes some stupid time to pull it up. There it is. I can't.
I can.
Yeah, I can. There you go. Yeah. See, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thing looks sweet. There's like a little like, well, I guess that's just the plastic thing on the back that makes it look like that, but yeah, I'm going to get one.
Are you going to get another red kayak?
No, the P127 only comes in three colors.
What's the color scheme?
Venom, gray, and camo, I think.
Is a Venom that popular?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with gray, though.
The Venom is that kind of weird, like, not green. Yeah, it's like a highlighter green almost.
Yep.
Or a highlighter yellowish color. So, I mean, it's cool color. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't know it was that popular that they would have done it on the P127. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's flashy, I guess, but I'd probably just go with the gray again.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, the gray's a classic. It's hard to beat the gray. That's my favorite color anyway.
Yeah. It'll be it's definitely an exciting kayak, man, to see, you know, that Bonafide finally did it. I mean, obviously it's what the what drive system is it from? Why did I just forget?
The native drive.
Yeah, the native drive. But
you are sick, man. You're out of it.
Yeah, I'm way out of it. I'm really tired.
I am too. I about fell asleep before.
Long days at work. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it performs. I've always been intrigued about their hull design, and you know, for being a narrow fishing kayak like it is, you know, and how stable it really was, you know. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it translates too, because one of the things that Bonafide has always been known for is how angler friendly their kayaks are. There's a lot of thought into all the nooks and crannies of that boat, you know, from the dry pod to those little spots with the sea deck kind of padding, and just all kinds of different little things like that that I've always really liked about the Bonafide, and
bells and whistles,
their seats, and you know, it'd be interesting to see what's changed on it hull design wise, if they where they had to make some adjustments. It almost makes you want to get like a 127 SS127, flip it over, and then have the P127 flip that over. Hopefully, maybe we can do that. We'll find somebody who's got one.
Yeah, probably do that.
That'd be kind of cool.
I know there's people out there that don't like the bells and whistles that Bonafide has. I know Jimmy's one of them. He's like, it's just too much for me. It's overkill. So I get it.
Yeah, dude. I mean, there's a lot of people like it. Like if you like being really organized and everything having its place, that's a great kayak for you.
That's me.
If you're like me, you just have basically a plastic canoe. You just throw it all.
Yeah, I can't
hope
do that.
For the best. Here's what I like. Well, see, you keep your stuff all in your boat, and I can't stand storing stuff inside my kayak because I hate the smell of the inside of kayaks.
Yeah, I do too.
So I will not leave anything in there. So like the Kilroy, I was like, man, it don't stink. But you know when it does stink, it's from the river water that I'll forget to drain out of it.
Yeah.
But normally what I do is when I get done with the trip, instead of trying to flip it over, because it's a hard boat to drain, even though it's open like that, the way those gunnels are, it's like it's hard to get the water out of there. There's like a way to do it and tilt it, and it actually comes out of these like pre-drilled holes along that lip.
Oh, yeah, because it curls under.
Yeah, it curls under, so it wants to hold the water in. But if you tilt it, it'll run into those holes, but you still can't get all of it. So I started getting mad, and then I would forget, and I'd go out in the garage. I'm like, oh my god, that smells like toilet water out in my. It smells so bad, man. And so what I started doing is when I would get back home, I just take a towel because the Kilroy sits on the trailer, and it's tilted towards the front, right? Mm-hmm. I have it just kind of. I don't have like a jack stand for it, but it's got that little stand thing that's just a little curved piece of metal, so it sits pointing down. So all I do is take I have a big towel, and I just stick it right there at the front of it, and let this towel soak up the water. Once it does that, I'll set the towel outside and let it dry out naturally. It won't stink. And then once every 4 or 5 trips, I'll just throw the towel in the laundry and wash it. And so,
yeah, that's a good idea. I saw Kurt Smith does that with the sponge.
Yeah.
He'll leave it sitting inside his Hobie.
Yeah, it's a great idea because then you can just take it out, you know, and it doesn't take long. It usually just takes a day or two. You know, I wouldn't leave it in there any longer because then that thing will start smelling.
Yeah.
And, but it works good, man. And I don't know, like I've left that water sit and it smells awful. And what's crazy is mine's not enclosed and it smells awful. So,
yeah. Yeah. The Bonafide didn't get much water in it, but if it rained, and I put my life jacket in there. Oh my goodness. I did that once and I had to soak it in a bucket of Dawn.
Yeah.
For like
we've always days. Talked about like even when it's dry, how it has that bad smell. I think it was you and I we were talking about on a pod last year, the year before, was taking like a box of baking soda. You know how people put it in their fridge and seeing if you stuck it inside the kayak, if it would kind of help knock back the odor. I don't know. It's always been an idea. I've never done it, but it makes sense that it would work, but who knows?
My wife does that in her bakery fridges to keep her ingredients fresh. So
yeah, I think it helps absorb moisture, and moisture will usually make your food spoil quicker. So
yeah. Makes sense.
But
I was gonna say, what are you looking forward to 2022?
Dude, you know, I want to get back into pedal drive. Like I said, I want to try out some Old Towns. You know, I might try out some other kayaks too. I think I want to finally try out a Hobie 360. I haven't done that yet. It's funny, it's like all my friends have them, and I have yet to still get in one and use it.
Dang.
Because everybody's always so excited to fish. We get there and we're like, we always talk about it. Like, hey, man, I'm going to try out your kayak tomorrow. Okay, bro. And then we get there and we're like, off to the races. You know what I mean?
I know how it is.
So we always talk. Dude, you and I talked about switching how many times? And I never paddled the Bonafide.
That's true.
Not
one
time.
makes it nice. Like I said, Chris brings both of his Hobies. And I'm just like, I show up, meet him wherever, you know?
Yeah. Well, Dylan and I kept talking about doing some funny stuff where we had to fish with the other person's gear, kayak.
And you
had to fish with their fishing rods and whatever baits they chose for you, the boat. Like, I thought that would be a fun video to do. So maybe you and I can pick up that mantle. I think Dylan, if you're listening, golf sucks. Give it up, bro.
I know he hasn't fished much this year.
It's because he picked up golfing. He was like, and like, yeah, about halfway through the summer, he started playing golf, and now he's like a golfer. The golfer. He's like Dylan Woods. Huh. Like he's really into it.
That's
he's taking
cool.
lessons.
By the way, so he works for FedEx, right? UPS. Yeah, one of them, something like that. Yeah, he's probably gonna hate me after I got it wrong. We were working at my boss's house, and he delivers in my boss's neighborhood. He was dropping something off right at the house next door. He was like, "Hey," I looked up and I was like, "What's up, dude?"
Yeah, he delivers in my area where I live. Actually,
that's funny.
Like, if I get something UPS, Dylan's bringing it to my door. Like when I ordered my catch board, he like wrote on the box and stuff like that. It was hilarious.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's happened a few times. He should. Driving down the street, he'll see my truck, and then I'll be outside. Hey, what's up? He'll talk to me for a few minutes.
Yeah. What else? So, I don't know. Want to do a couple trips. You know, that's one thing. I want to go back up to St. Clair. Hopefully, we do another Del Hollow thing, just because that's much fun. You know, or at least the Paddle and Fin host crew gets together. Every time we do that, we really have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's chill. It's a good time.
Yeah, I know. I want to meet Jimmy in person, man. I haven't met Jimmy yet.
Jimmy is really cool. What else? So, you know, I really want to work on kind of doing some video stuff. Last year, that all kind of fell apart with me moving. So, you know, this year it was just kind of stressful with new job and everything going on. And when I got out to fish, I don't know, like I'm trying to change my mindset from, you know, just I need to stay positive. And when you sit in that negativity, it can, you know, like even the things that you like, how it kind of starts to invade the stuff that you like. And so what was kind of happening is I'd be like, I'm going to go fishing, and then I wouldn't go. Or if I did go, it was like, well, I don't want to mess with everything. You know what I mean?
I've done that a few times this year.
And so, like, I would either go on foot, or if I did the kayak, I would do, like, the minimum. Like, the minimum stuff. Like, dude, there was times I didn't even take my crate. You know, I just would literally grab the backpack, like the old days, and throw it in the back of the kayak. And I'd be like, who are you kidding, dude? You're gonna throw a Kytec. We know.
Heck, that's all I did all this year. All right, you'd be proud of me, dude. So all year long, I brought one book bag, a couple of my tubes out of the Calco's battle box, and one tackle box, and a bag of TRD.
Yeah.
And that's all I brought. Maybe three or four rods.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. Like, I mean, it's great for the river, but I see people catch stuff on baits that I don't throw. I mean, we got Mike Teach here, right? In Dayton throws this big, gaudy, super highlighter, yellow colored spinnerbait and just catches giants.
That I use that thing all year long.
Yeah. The thing I never throw spinnerbaits. Like
I only do when it's muddy.
I need to throw them though. Like, you know, like, but the thing is I know that if I have this stuff with me like that, like different hard baits that like I'm getting better about trying it and throwing it, you know what I mean? So, and switching over, finding something that works or doesn't work. And it's been cool. It's been fun. Like the past couple of years, because before it was just like, throw the Kytec or throw a worm, you know, and that was it every time, you know, or a popper, you know, and when it was top water time, it was a popper, you know, and the past couple of years, like it's been fun throwing crankbaits. You know, I caught like my first deep diving, you know, crankbait fish up at Dale Hollow last year, you know. That was cool. It was in like 17 to 20 feet of water. I mean, it wasn't super deep, but, you know, for running a crankbait, pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a good fish, too. That's what was really cool.
No, I know the feeling because, I mean, I've said it to you plenty of times, and you've caught fish with me in front of me using a jig, and I struggle with a jig.
Yeah.
So this year, I threw the jig, and then recently I've been throwing nothing but the jerk bait, and it's been so much fun.
Yeah, I think you should try, but here's what I kind of look at it as. Throw something that matches you. You don't necessarily mm-hmm. have to go off the deep end and throw these big gaudy jigs. You're a finesse guy. So, mm-hmm. you know, a jig that I've been dying to try, and I wanted to order some, but I remember it was around showtime, and they were like sold out for a while with those 2K jigs, that we saw, the little Ned rig ones. Those things look really good, man. And I know a lot of people really like them. You know, you throw jigs like that, you know, don't have to be huge.
I know. It's just the thing behind a football jig. Plus, like, you know, I want to support Cody and Jigmasters. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with throwing. Yeah. I mean, and he's got those finesse jigs. I mean, I think I bothered him forever. Like, you need to make a river one, you know, or something for the river. And I threw that the other day, and it was good, man. It works nice. So
that's sweet.
I mean, I was throwing his football heads in the river. Mm-hmm. I really liked those as well. I mean, I haven't thrown, you know, anytime you fish the river, you should just be prepared to lose stuff. It's inevitable. I mean, we all get frustrated with it, but it's just a part of it. And I mean, dude, I can't tell you how many times I can throw. I'll fish the same little stretch and still get caught on the same stupid six things that have been there for 6 years. Like, how am I not?
I lost. I know. I lost two jerk baits this weekend. One was a Lucky Craft Pointer, $16 jerk bait, and then another one was Rapala X Rap. So that's not a cheap jerk bait. And then I lost the Spro Lil John. I'm like, dude, that's a $12 crankbait.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a bad weekend, but
yeah,
whatever.
You know, maybe I don't know, like, maybe when you're throwing the river, dude, don't throw the high dollar ones. You know,
I'm done with crankbaits in the river anyway. I'm not a big fan of them in the river. That's just me. I just don't care for them.
Yeah. I try to throw them. It's like either A, I can't get the depth I want, or B, I feel like I'm digging trenches or catching up on everything. So,
well, that's the thing. I was going to try grinding the bottom with crankbaits because Andrew Hayes on Tackle Talk, he's like, that is a great way to catch fish in cold water. So I was like, I'm going to try that this winter.
Mm-hmm.
Tried it, and lost the crankbait. Dang you. Dang you, yeah. Andrew.
But so that's, you know, it's what I want to keep. One of the things I definitely want to keep trying to look forward to next year and improve on is just keep throwing different baits. Get outside the comfort zone. There's nothing wrong with fishing your strengths. I've always been a big believer that those, you know, people who do well in tournaments know how to find fish and they can make adjustments, but, you know, they also fish at a certain comfort level. And that's the key is, you know, make sure you broaden your horizons. Like, don't get stuck on one or two baits, keep trying different stuff and it'll eventually be comfortable. You know, you'll find success in it and what works and what doesn't work. But I don't know. I just want to have fun. You know, I've thought about trying to do the Cincinnati kayak fishing, you know, trail next year. I don't know if I'll do it or not.
Yeah, I'm same boat.
You know,
I might pick and choose.
Yeah. It's fun to do this stuff. It's with having my kids, you know, as often as I get them, it's kind of hard to plan around that because of, you know, if we have to switch days or whatever and that kind of thing, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
sign up last minute type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it'd probably end up being.
Heck, dude, I have a hard time just affording the injury fees.
I mean, really, if I like maybe stop eating out as much a couple times, you're like, there it is. You know what I mean?
I know.
So
I know I ate Chipotle tonight.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, if you didn't eat Chipotle twice or three times, you have that entry, you know, thing for the month. Yep. But it's I knew they just released the schedule. You and I were talking about it before.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you think of it?
I thought it was kind of cool. There was one destination I was hoping they would go back to just because I missed it that end of last year because I hurt my hand. That's Kincaid Lake.
They are going there.
That's what I'm saying. That was the one I was hoping they would put on, and they did. So
oh, I thought you were saying that.
I think that, yeah, I think I do want to go back and try to see what I can do there because the fishing was tough when we went.
Yeah. Was that the place that was in Kentucky?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like
just over the border a little bit. I think I fished it, right? No, I didn't fish the tournament. I pre-fished it with Mike, and he caught 21.
I know. I went up the creek, and we struggled all day long catching fish on the main lake. Started going up the creek, and we caught some good fish up there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, pre-fishing is going to be awesome. Got off the water. My hand was throbbing. My head was aching. And it's like, I'm not doing this. Going home. Yeah.
But so what else? That's about it. You know, might do that. Might just pick and choose some random tournaments to do. So, yeah.
I want to start next year. So you probably have heard this from locals. Like they're like, oh, the smallmouth fishing's not that great below Hamilton, down to the Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've always been like, yeah, I don't really want to go down there just because people said that. But next year, I think I want to make it a priority to start floating the southern stretches.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to hit every mile of the Great Miami. And I've done everything from Sydney all the way to Hamilton minus 1 3-mile stretch and then the Pickway area. So,
yeah. Well, it'd be cool, too, is you get down there, you might find some good fishing. I mean, think about it.
Hybrids.
Well, not that long ago, we were all stuck on the Little Miami and all the smaller ones. And then we all started fishing the GMR, which we heard was good, but, you know, it really turned out. Like, you know, it's really become super the place to smallmouth fish in our area, you know. But I don't know, man. You never know what you find. And then all of a sudden you might be running into some crazy hybrids or something, you know.
That would be awesome. So heck yeah. I know they're down there, like the flatheads and the hybrids, the hybrid fishing down that way is really good.
Yeah. And you know, they can make their way up past those dams if it floods out enough, you know.
I've caught hybrids in Middletown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what else? Yeah. I think that would be really cool, man. You know, you haven't done from Indian Lake though yet, have you?
No, just because.
How close have you gotten?
Sydney, that's the furthest. So, like, the access is in between up there. They're like 15 miles apart.
Yeah.
Which I need to go explore. But at the same time, everybody told me, somebody told me that 15 years ago, there was some gnarly log jams through there that you couldn't even get through in a canoe, and it made it really tough. So
yeah,
it's like I don't know if I'll ever get up there or not.
Yeah, well, look on Google Earth and kind of scope it out and see. You never know.
Yeah, well, you've been with me. If a float's over 4 miles, you know it's gonna be like a 12-hour day.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you're not a camper, though. I was going to say you could do an overnight, figure out a way to do overnight. If you were into camping, like, I need to do that. I was supposed to do that this year and last year and the year before, and I never did.
You went
with
Ricketts, didn't you?
We didn't do an overnight. We camped out at Morgan's campground. Like, I'm talking about packing your stuff up on the kayak and going, you know.
Yeah, I thought that's what you guys did.
No, we went with a buddy of his and his kids, and then Pierce and Jason and me and Zach.
Okay.
And we just set up tents at Morgan's Canoe. And what we ended up doing was we went upstream and like made the campground our halfway point. And so we had my truck or his truck at the end of it. So when we started, we basically came down for a few hours, stopped, ate lunch at our campsite, and then went down a little further. So it wasn't like an overnight trip like that. So
I gotcha. Huh.
That's still we were going to do that, but, Jason's buddy's kids, one of them is he's little, like I think he was only like two or three. So,
oh, yeah, that'd be a little tough.
Yeah, kid was hilarious, man. He was hell on wheels. He hooked some lady, like he was like practicing, like throwing. He was really good at casting, but he didn't care where he was casting. Like, so if you were out in front of him, you're probably gonna get hooked. Like,
oh, geez.
He was like two or three, he had no idea what he was doing, you know?
Yeah,
that it hurt someone. It was so funny though, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But what else we got? Anything gear wise that you're looking forward to? Or
Well, I broke my fifth rod of the year.
Did you?
So I'm looking forward to replacing that.
How'd you do that?
I was
broke five rods this year.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one I was popping a popper and the braid wrapped around the tip. I was popping it fast too. You know, yeah. I was just cranking, popping. It spun around, snapped the tip off.
Really?
Yep.
I've never seen then, that.
Yeah. It's cause I don't know what I'm doing with a popper. This last one though, I was pulling the kayak up to the truck and I forgot to put my transducer arm up and everything just got all tangled and it just went, broke it in three spots.
Really?
Yeah,
hey, when you're fishing a popper, don't worry about trying to take all the slack out of your line because you want to kind of treat it like frog fishing in a way, a little bit. You want to give them a chance to kind of grab that bait.
I don't even know how to frog fish either.
Well, like when you frog fish, one of the biggest mistakes that people make and when they mess up their hook sets is that the fish has just kind of grabbed it barely a lot of times and you want him to get his mouth around it and they'll hook set too hard and too fast.
Yeah.
And the same thing can be with a popper, you know?
Yeah. And, I know with the popper, I don't set the hook at all. I just reel into it.
I mean, I'll set it a little bit, but I'll give it a second. That's why I kind of I don't kind of freak out about keeping my line like totally like taut, you know, and tight on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody's,
it's like a jerk bait. I mean, I'm getting the hang of the jerk bait now, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
Man, but they freaking hammer the jerk bait though. That's fun.
I'm trying to think of some like new gear stuff. I'm definitely interested in seeing what that P127 is going to be like. That's going to be kind of cool. I mean, I'm not a really crazy gearhead when it comes to rods and reels and stuff. I just kind of buy what I can get when I can get it.
You need to experience the freaking Shimano Corrados, dude.
Oh, I mean, I've thrown them.
Oh, have
I've thrown. Yeah, remember when me and Nate did that? We were pitching at the show, and I loved it. I was like, "Oh my god, I feel like I know what I'm doing," because that reel makes it so easy. His DC did.
Yeah.
I like Shimano's. I just have all loose stuff, and I'm weird. I'm like the kind of person worried about matching their stuff. So,
yeah, I get it. Makes sense.
And I like loose stuff too. So, I'm not, you know, keen to one brand or the other. It's just, like I said, from the start, I bought Fenwick's and I bought Lou's.
Yeah.
And I haven't stopped buying their stuff. So,
yep.
Until until something extreme happens from either brand or whatever, like, you know, something breaks and I'm just like, this is ridiculous. But everything that's happened is either my fault or something that's simple and I didn't take care of it in time And then it ended up being my fault, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
That's one reason why I don't like messing with my stuff, my reels especially, like starting to take them apart or weird stuff like that. Because every time I do, I mess something up. So
yeah, well, I don't want to do that. I'll take it to Fisherman's Headquarters or something like that to get it lubed up or whatever.
I try to take my stuff out to them, but they're always so far behind, and I'm like, yeah.
They're a busy shop, man. I like that shop though.
Oh, I love it. I love going down there. So
yeah, I haven't been there in a while. Joshy.
Yeah, I used to love it too because they had the Kytex and the 3/8s, you know, like, and they were the ones that kind of helped me find. I got into throwing that size because I was throwing like 4/2s and the 4/8s or whatever. And the one guy's like, "Hey, man, have you ever tried to downsize a little bit?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Yeah, just, you know, if you need a little bit extra weight, you know, maybe get a about," because what I was throwing when I first started throwing that stuff was like a 4 or 5/0 EWG weightless on a 4/8 Kytec. And one of the guys up there was like, "Here, try a," you know, he gave me a belly weighted swim bait hook and said, "Try to throw that on a pack of these and let me know how you did." And I loved it. So what I found was I was getting better hookups. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So those belly weighted hooks tend to be a little stouter and they're not a lot stouter, but you know, you ever pick up like an EWG, like 4/0, that's not a super line. It's kind of flimsy a little bit.
Yeah. Know? I know what you mean.
So that's kind of where I started realizing that weight kind of adds some rigidity to your hook, you know? Mm-hmm. So
makes it a little bit more stiff.
Yeah. So,
dude, I do not have the success on Kytex like you do. You're like master. The way you let them sink and then, you know, you strip your line. And I've tried to mimic that. No luck at all. I'm like, what? I don't get it.
You're talking about like when I cast right away too and how I strip that line out.
Yeah.
And try to let it drop. It's not dropping immediately down, but I'm just trying to get it down to the bottom as quickly as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. So when it hits that water, when it hits the water, I'll actually pull out, you know, some extra line real quick to let it sink down a little bit more before I start my retrieve. But the thing I think that I get hit on the most, Brad, is that I don't fish it like in a constant retrieve. Mm-hmm. Like I'll change it up until I figure out what cadence or what speed. Because I've caught fish where I literally drag the thing like a jig. Like I'll drag it and then reel in the line, drag it, reel in the line, maybe pop it up a little bit, reel in some line. Then there's times where I've cranked it, you know, like a crankbait and gotten hit. There's times I've thrown it. Like one time I remember when it was one of the first times I started throwing the Wicked Willow. And I threw white and the black one and the black shad one from Kytec, that color, right? And I was burning it 1, 2, 3, and I'd stop and just let it sink for like a second or two and then crank it again. And I was doing that muddy water. And when I would get hit, where it was kind of happening is when I would get up close to that vegetation. Remember when you and I went out that following weekend or whatever? And I was like, "Hey, try throwing up right in that vegetation. I think they're still sitting in that because the water's so dirty," and they kind of were. But that's how I figured out, okay, well, maybe this is another kind of cadence that I can utilize with the swim bait, you know?
Yeah.
There's times where I've dragged it over like a rock or something. I know that there's something deep right behind it, and I'll just let it fall in there naturally by itself, you know? So,
yeah, that's the one thing that always stuck out to me too when you said the muddy water and weeds and stuff. You know, I've had some success after you mentioning that around weeds.
And that was a total accident that I've kind of was messing. And that makes sense though. I mean, it's the same concept we talk about in lakes. When the lakes get muddy, they'll hug the bank, get right up next to the cover. You know, they're they don't want to go out and a bunch of shit they can't see real well in, you know.
Right.
But and that's the same concept when you think about it. And that effect that I realized that the water was a little bit cleaner right up on the vegetation. And that was just because I threw in it. I was like, I don't know. I wasn't getting bit anywhere else. I'm like, I'll try throwing over there.
Yeah. Well, heck, I mean, I can't catch a river fish on a chatterbait unless the river's like that. And then you cast it parallel up to like some weed lines. They just come out and smack it.
Yeah. Dude, I told you about when I hooked into something big with Zach and Colin in the boat on the, my, have a black and I want to say it's purple. It was like a purple color in it. And I threw a big black, not a turbo crawl, but something similar to it. I don't remember. And I threw it out there and I threw it and threw it and threw it. And I'm like, I'm not getting hit. And then something drilled it, dude. And whatever it hooked, like Zach couldn't even reel it in. I mean, he's little, but he was trying to turn the handle and he couldn't. And I was like, dude, this is a good fish. And then I saw the tail and the quick, like millisecond I saw it, I thought it was a catfish, but I'm not 100% sure. It didn't come up like a smallie. You know what I mean? Like, smallies kind of want to try to come up real fast and shake and jump. It didn't do that. Kind of stayed buried. So I'm thinking I had an angry channel cat or flathead on. So
you might have. I know. Going back to the spinnerbait thing, one of my best days on the river this year, man. The water was up. The water was muddy. You couldn't see but a few inches, if that. Yeah. And I was throwing I had Cody at Jigmasters make me a custom black jig with a huge black Colorado blade, and that's what I threw all day long. And we were catching them on seams and eddies and right up against the bank and stuff. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want to wrap it up? I think we're struggling here. I look like we're going to fall asleep or just randomly BSing. And
sorry, I still want to get my buddy Matt on to talk Shimano.
Yeah, it's a bit of a lame episode. We had a couple cancellations, and Brad forgot to record an episode on Friday with Matt. So we'll get back at it. Just bear with us. Thanks again for listening. Brad, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right, guys. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
See ya.